Our topic for this portion of Vocal Point is New York City and the police. And our guest is Curtis Sliwa, who is the founder of the Guardian Angels, which was started in New York City in 1979. He's also a popular talk show host on WABC. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Curtis, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It's a miserable time for us here in New York City. Our city is sliding into the abyss. And our politicians have just forsaken us with all the violence that we see in the streets.
I understand that crime in New York City is up, and then in the meantime, they want to defund more of the police in New York City.
It's not just a question of defund. That's the first approach. There is an entire movement led by AOC. I refer to her as all-out crazy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman, who wants to actually abolish the police, abolish prisons, who doesn't feel that people should have to do any kind of prison time, even for the most violent of crimes. And we're slowly moving in that direction. So what was, within the last year, considered to be the safest big city in America is now trailing Chicago. We're in neck and neck competition with all the shootings we've had here, including a one-year-old who was shot and killed by two men who came out dressed all in black, an execution team. They aimed at other young adults. They hit the young child, and no arrests have been made. In fact, that's the problem with all these shootings. There are no arrests because the police have been defunded. They've been neutered. And what was the best trained, most professional police department in the world is now almost invisible in the streets.
You know, it's amazing. I was in New York City for TV production prior to Giuliani, and I was in some bad areas in Brooklyn and so forth. And then after Giuliani, it was almost like a miracle. But now it seems like this is even worse than before Giuliani.
Go back before Rudy Giuliani became mayor in 1993 and saved our city from falling into the what I call the belly of the beast. It was the result of the explosion in the use of crack cocaine. So it wasn't because the city was cutting back funding. It wasn't because elected officials were forsaking the people. It was because they didn't know how to deal with the explosion of use of crack cocaine and the violence that surrounded that new style of drug trafficking. But New York was not alone. That was true of major big cities all across America. But then, in this case, things were going well. The pandemic hit. Still, no tremendous upsurge in crime, even though people didn't have work to go to. They didn't have schools to go to. A lot of young adults had nowhere to go and nothing to do. But this was all the result of the move by Black Lives Matter and Antifa to pressure the officials to defund the police. And the moment the officials waved the white flag and did so, then what you saw were youth gangs that always existed under the surface, surfaced. And now they had weapons in their hand, and they were settling old scores. Mm. And more importantly, every time there was a shooting or a drive-by shooting, it would be followed by a revenge shooting. So it's like the Hatfields and McCoys. It's endless. And if the police are not out there protecting people in these neighborhoods, which are mostly poor and impoverished and consist mostly of minority members, there's nothing that can be done for them. So Black Lives Matter clearly does not care about the victims of this black-on-black crime, and neither do our elected officials.
All right, I want to read, this is from actually a publicity comment touting you as a potential guest. Over the month of June, New York City saw a 130% increase in shooting incidents compared to the same time last year. Despite the increase in violent crime, New York's mayor, Bill de Blasio, has passed a budget slashing over $1 billion in funding from the New York Police Department and canceling the July recruit class, which includes almost 1,200 new officers. Curtis Sliwa, the founder of the New York City Guardian Angels, an unarmed civilian patrol group that was created to help combat widespread violence in New York City in the late 1970s, is appalled over the direction of his beloved city, that his beloved city is headed. Okay, comment on any of those things. There's a lot to unpack there. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Well, since I started the Guardian Angels in 1979, we've since expanded to 13 countries and 130 cities.
Wow.
And many of the major cities across America are doing exactly the same thing. They're making the same mistake. Chicago, Washington, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. They're moving to defund police, abolish police. And notice the incredible rise of violent crime. And they have no answers. They have no solutions. And this isn't impacting rich people or middle-class people. In fact, many of them are deciding in these urban areas, in these cities, to just pack their bags and move. I've never seen so many moving vans here in the streets of New York. But the poor and impoverished who are stuck in these neighborhoods, they have become the collateral damage. They have become the victims. And so that's why we, the Guardian Angels, as we did in our birth back in the late 70s in New York City, have had to try to fill the void, have had to try to go into these neighborhoods that have been turned over to the criminal element. And I never thought I'd have to go through this again. I thought we would have learned as students of history from the cycle of violence, the cycle of revenge, and the cycle of high crime. But we have a brand new generation of hipsters and millennials. They never lived through this. They're idealistic, very naive. Many of them never grew up in the streets of New York. You know, they were out in Iowa where there are more pigs than people, Idaho where there are more potatoes than people. They come to New York City. It's like Marlo Thomas, you know, in a big city. And they get stuck with these radical leftist points of view that are anti-cop, anti-prisons, anti-civility, anti-quality of life. And then they'll have the wherewithal to leave because many of them live on a blind trust. But the people that they leave behind in their wake of violence are going to be minority families who can't leave, who live in projects or tenements, and then they'll have to go through this whole cycle of violence again before we learn from a new generation's mistakes. This did not have to happen. It's not the result of any calamity. Some people will blame the pandemic, coronavirus. Some will blame the downturn in the economy. I put this strictly on the tables of the elected officials who allowed mob rule to prevail.
Wow, that's amazing. I remember when COVID-19 first started breaking out in America and in New York City, there was a report about you and your fellow Guardian Angels or whatever going and helping people in Chinatown in New York City and other places where Chinese Americans were being unfairly victimized because this virus is, of course, out of Wuhan, China. And the Communist Party in China is to, you know, they are culpable in all this. But in the meantime, these poor victims, you know, in Chinatown. Tell us about that. That's a fascinating story.
In fact, this past Sunday, I was in Chinatown. We had a graduation of some of the Chinese Americans who joined our ranks specifically to protect Asians who have consistently been under threat, attack, assault. We have many emotionally disturbed people who roam the streets of New York who need to get some psychiatric care, who need to get their medicines, and they're not being tended to. So they'll roam around these predominantly Asian areas because it's a very large part of our community now. And they'll indiscriminately attack what they think are Chinese Americans, even in fact if they're not Chinese Americans, if they're Filipinos, if they're Korean, whatever. And they'll say to them, oh, you're responsible for me losing my job. You're a carrier of coronavirus. And so we have begun patrolling these communities to protect the Asian Americans who are generally very quiet. You know, you're not going to see demonstrations. They don't take to the streets. They stay to their own. But as we've told them, you have to stand up. You have to protect yourself. If you don't do it, nobody else will. And we've given them the vehicle to do that, the Guardian Angels. Prior to that, the beginning of the year, during the Christmas Hanukkah season, we had a tremendous spate of anti-Semitic attacks against the Orthodox Jewish community, those who are into their faith. And they were being indiscriminately attacked simply because they looked Orthodox, they looked Hasidic. And again, the Guardian Angels were able to flood into their neighborhoods and prevent those attacks from taking place. So those are the kinds of efforts we've always been involved in the 41 years. In addition, we're out there taking care of the homeless, the emotionally disturbed. We're cleaning them to make sure that they're not transporting the coronavirus. We're feeding them. We're trying to take care of their needs because our city and our state has abandoned them to the streets. And we will not do that. We will not turn our backs on our fellow citizens simply because they're down and out and they have no other means. We're there to help as many different people as we can in as many different ways as we can. It's volunteer. It's the Good Samaritan ethic. It's what we would expect of all Americans. But unfortunately, this pandemic has caused people to turn on one another, shelter in, even be afraid of their fellow neighbors that they've grown up with. And we've said, no, you can't allow this pandemic, this coronavirus, to keep us from helping one another. So, look, I remember pictures of missionaries going out there. They didn't have masks. They didn't have gloves. They were in leper colonies. They were in places where there are diseases I cannot even pronounce in third world countries. They took all risk to help men and women because that's what humanity is about. It's about us and we, not I and me. And that's what we as Guardian Angels, we totally believe in, not just in New York where we started, but in 13 countries and 130 cities.
That's amazing. Now, just real quick, since you mentioned missionaries, in the U.S. Capitol, each state has been allowed to donate two statues of two people from their particular state that they want to honor their memory. And one of them for Hawaii is Father Damien, and he's got a strange contraption that he's wearing. And he developed leprosy while working among those who were leprous. And anyway, if you ever go to the Capitol, you can see that. But going back to the top story here, I understand that a couple weeks ago there was an attempt by some in New York City, some of the radicals on the streets and so forth, to create an autonomous zone in City Hall, kind of like what they had done in Seattle, which, by the way, during that time in the Seattle, that was almost like the murder capital of the country per capita, you know, during the Summer of Love, so-called.
Yeah, well, that was a complete disaster. We've seen that also in Atlanta. That was a complete disaster around that Wendy's. Oh. And we see it in New York City. It still exists. It's right in the shadow of City Hall, downtown Manhattan. And you have this hardcore radical element that has declared it to be a cop-free zone. Now, can you imagine this? Just blocks away from Wall Street, the economic engine of the world, in the shadow of City Hall and One Police Plaza, where the world's largest police department operates out of, the cops have been told by the mayor they're not to go into this area, which is now populated by about 200 people. I would say many of them with severe emotional and mental issues. They're actually street people, but they can be quite devastating in terms of how they deal with the authorities. They've hung cops in effigy. They've graffitied all the buildings in the surrounding area. The cops have been emasculated. They're told, don't do anything. Stand back. Just watch. And they hold the city of New York as prisoner. And the mayor really supports them. You know, although he doesn't tacitly come out and encourage it, he's doing everything to aid and abet them so that they stay. The squalor, the filth, the graffiti, the curses. I mean, there's curse words on every municipal building. Some of them are iconic buildings with statues that have been there for centuries, and they've all been ruined. And the mayor chooses to do nothing because I believe secretly he is in solidarity with their cause. I see hammer and sickles everywhere, the sign of communism. Communism, which promotes the complete overthrow of capitalism, which is at the crux of what we are as a country, and he's supporting that.
Just a couple blocks away from Wall Street. That's amazing. We're basically out of time. Thanks so much for being with us, guardianangels.org. And thank you so much, Curtis, for all you're doing. All the best.
We'll continue to help people wherever they are.
Okay. Thanks now. Bye-bye.